want to take you to Psalm 148. And what I want to do with you here, I just want to read through this psalm together. I want you to see just the command that the Word of God places on creation. The command that God has given creation, that everything that God has created, its purpose for being created is to praise Him. All right, let's begin. Psalm 148, beginning in verse 1. Let's look at 1 through 6. Check this out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon, and praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Real quick, I just want you to see a few things here. The first thing that it brings to attention after saying praise the Lord, just kind of summing up everything right there. This whole psalm can be summed up in those three words, praise the Lord. He goes on and first talks about praising the Lord from the heavens. And what are in the heavens? Well, let's look at everything that God has created in the heavens. And you're going to see how this coincides with Genesis chapter 1. We see praise Him in all the heights, praise Him all His angels and all His hosts. We know that there are angels, according to Scripture, there are angels that are constantly flying around the throne of God saying what right now? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is really hard to do this at the same time. I had to get in a groove because I started going like that. It tripped me out. The angels are constantly singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Constantly, even right now as we speak, from the moment God created them until this time, they have been constantly circling His throne, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so it calls them, because they have been created, it calls them to worship Him. And then it goes on and says, praise Him, sun, moon, and praise Him, all you shining stars. All of these created all together on day 4. The sun, the moon, and the stars. I don't know if you guys, anybody ever seen the Louis Giglio Indescribable type sermons? Okay, those things will blow your mind. I'm not going to try to blow your mind to that degree, but if you haven't seen those, I highly recommend them. I may show a clip here and there, but basically what he does, he just takes you on this journey and shows you from the Hubble telescope these pictures of these stars, the pictures of the sun, the pictures of our earth, and how these stars just completely dwarf our earth. They are so gigantic. They are like hundreds of times the size of our sun, and the sun is like hundreds of times the size of our earth. And it's ridiculous to think that these stars were created by God simply going, and then boom, they were there. That with the breath of His mouth, He breathed stars into existence. And so what I want you to do when we start looking at these things here in the next coming weeks, I want you to see how great God is by looking at these things. But then when we look at these things, it should automatically take our attention back to God, because as these things are proclaiming the majesty and the glory and the praise of God, we, our hearts, should be doing exactly the same. Moving on, it says, praise Him, you highest heavens, you waters above the heavens. We're going to talk about how God divided the waters, and there was an expanse, there was a firmament. He divided the waters, and there were waters above the atmosphere, which is where, you know, the rain and all that comes from. And so we're going to talk about all that. He talks about the waters above the heavens. He says, let them praise the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. You know, for that fact alone, the fact that they were created puts them in debt to their Creator. The fact that they were created means that the creation is now to praise and glorify that which has created it. And so it takes us to the heavens and reminds us that everything in the heavens that God has created, all of it is created for the purpose of praising and honoring Him. Then we move on to verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps. We are going to discuss some sea creatures that just, to be perfectly honest, freak me out. All right? There are things in the depths of the sea that we have come across, not me personally, but, you know, that man has discovered. There are animals in the depths of the sea that literally the only logical reasoning for them existing is for God to say, look what I can do. That's the only reason why they are even there. I don't know any other reason why they exist, but there are some freaky things in the depths of the ocean that man has have rarely ever traveled to, and they have discovered there's some really ugly things in the depths of the ocean, but there are also some things in the depths of the ocean, man, when you look at it and it's like, You know, for what other reason, God, would you create this thing like this? For what other reason than to say, praise be to your name. Glory be to the name of God, who alone is able to do this because he can and he chose to do so. So we're going to see things like that, man. Sea creatures, all deeps. And then look what it says. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Even the weather declares the glory of God. You look at snowfall. I know snow can be treacherous, especially where we live. When it snows in Michigan, people look at us and be like, that's cute, you know, stuff like that. But we see snow falling. We see it falling very delicately at some points. And maybe in that case, we're reminded of the mercy and how God is compassionate toward us. He's delicate with us. When at the same time, we see thunderstorms take place and we see huge, massive storms sweep through, and we're reminded of the justice of God. Not saying that that's what all these things are, but I'm just saying it's easy to see the greatness of God in these things. It's easy to see the power of God. It's easy to see how God is magnified, and it's easy to see how God should be praised because of the works of his hands. And it says that wind, the stormy wind, fulfilling his word. We could get into some deep stuff here. We're probably not going to, because that would take us a little bit off track from what the overall purpose of the study is going to be. But the reality is, man, wind blows wherever God tells it to blow. It does. It blows that way because he tells it to. Stormy wind fulfilling his word. Moving on. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Every bit of vegetation, everything that grows upon the earth is called to praise his name. And then it goes on, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. There are some birds that fly through the air that will freak you out as well. We're going to look at some of those. There are creeping things that are creepy that will creep you out. I don't like creeping things. I just don't, all right? I'm not a fan. I think snakes are creeping things. I don't like them. I think the spiders are creeping things. I don't like spiders. Old people can be creeping things, all right? Yeah. Here's the thing. Let me present this to you because this is my theory, all right? For old people, you've got cool creepy. They fall into two categories. You've got cool creepy and creepy creepy, all right? Now, I have a desire to be kind of both. Let me explain to you what I mean by cool creepy and creepy creepy. Not more so cool creepy. I want to be the cool creepy guy. To be honest, I just really don't want to be the creepy creepy. I've met both examples in my lifetime since having kids, actually. When my daughter was born, Elizabeth, she was probably about 6 months old. We were at a church where my brother was being ordained as a deacon, and we were up front. We were shaking hands with everybody, and I'm sitting here holding my daughter, and this old guy walks up to me, and I promise you, man, I'm not even changing anything that he said. This is the creepy, creepy part, all right? He walks up to me and says, "If she turns up missing, be sure to check my house." What do you say in regards to that? I'm like, I don't even know if you're... I'm hoping you're being sarcastic and joking, but you are the creepiest old man I've ever met in my life. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh gosh, get away from me as quick as you can. But then there's the cool creepy. Me and Big Mike Sexton. Some of you may remember Mike. Some of you may not. Actually, most of you probably don't because Mike's been moved away for a while. But me and Mike Sexton were sitting at Ponderosa and Hazard. And while we were sitting there having a conversation, he was about to get married. He was asking me all these questions about marriage as if I was some kind of guru on the subject. And says, you know, what about this? If this and this, then this, and yada, 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 we were going on. And there was this older couple sitting next to us. And it was obvious that this older couple, by the looks of them, they had been married for at least 300 years. All right? They're sitting here right next to us. And, you know, you've got that feeling when somebody's looking at you, but you don't have eye contact. Well, I'm sitting here talking to Mike, and I notice in my peripheral vision, the woman gets up and she leaves to go get her meal at the buffet. Well, the old man never leaves. He's just sitting there. Me and Mike are having this conversation, and me and Mike have reached the point in our conversation to where we're ready to break and move in to get us some food and go back. Well, as I'm getting up from my chair, I go like this, and this guy is staring at me. And this is an old man who has a like bleach white goatee down to about right here. And he's got one of those bibs on with a big lobster on it, you know, coming down to about right here. And he's got his fork and his knife in his hand like this right here. And he's staring at me. And I go, "Sir, did you happen to hear our conversation?" And he looked at me and he said one word. He said this. That was cool creepy. That was cool creepy. Yes, indeed. Creepy can get you arrested. Cool creepy just makes you wet yourself, apparently. I don't know. But that, in my opinion, was the cool creepy guy, all right? Creeping things, beasts, livestock, flying birds, old men, they're all created by God. And they are to give him praise. And then listen to what it says here. It says, "Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children." I love what happens here because the psalmist here just, he basically takes everybody, whether they be a king or a president or a governor, ruler, whatever. He says, look, regardless of what status you're at on the social food chain, regardless of where you fall in place, regardless of your popularity status, regardless of what your responsibilities are, whether you are a king or whether you are a homeless man, you are both indebted to your creator and you are both to give him praise because of the fact that he has created you. Therefore, your purpose in being created was to glorify, worship, and honor him. So from the heavens, we see what God has created. From the earth, we see what God has created. Now let's see how the psalmist ends this out in verse 13 and 14. "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his saints. For the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord." Now draw your attention right here in the middle. It actually comes up in verse 14. "For he has raised up a horn for his people." Now, there were two reasons why you would raise up and blow a horn. In this day and age, all right? There were two reasons. One was for battle, and the other was for praise, for worship. And in this case, it is used for the purpose of worship. He has raised up a horn for his people, but it also bears with it the meaning of strength, the meaning of power, the meaning of security that God brings to his people, that he has created them, and he has met their needs. He is what gives them all of their benefits in regards to them being his people. And that he's provided in himself, not necessarily in other things. "But he has raised up for them a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him." We had our Disciple Nail weekend this past weekend, and we focused on Psalm 27, verse 8, which says, "You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." And then in that psalm, in that same psalm, Psalm 27, David speaks to God and he says, one thing that I have asked and that I will seek. One thing. This is all I want, God, is what he's saying. "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord." That I may dwell in your house forever and I may gaze upon your beauty. So David is saying this, God, there is one thing that I ask of you and one thing only, that I may be close to you and I may look at you forever. That I may see how beautiful you are for all eternity and that you would just keep me close and hold me. That's all I want. That's the one thing David asked for. Single-mindedly, wholeheartedly, that he would gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and forever be in his presence. For the people of Israel who are near to him, to be in the presence of the Lord. Not just to be in his presence, but to be near him, to be close to him, to walk with him. All of this setting up us to look at creation and how all creation is called to bring him praise. And now let's see how all creation does bring him praise. Now, I'm not going to go into much detail about the first day when God created light, but I do want to draw our attention to something here. Let's look in Genesis chapter 1:1-3, and check this out. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep." So basically, the earth was this blob of water, you know, right here. This was the actual shape of earth. This is what it looked like at all times. right. And it was dark. There was darkness everywhere. The earth was without form, void. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Now, he didn't create the sun until day four. He didn't create the sun until day four, and then somehow there's light here on day one. How is there light on day one when the sun, the moon, and the stars are not even created until day four? Anybody want to take a shot? What was that? Because God said so. That's a good way to put it. Yes, indeed. You're exactly right, Bobby, to be perfectly honest. Because and some may debate this, but I think it's safe because of what the rest of Scripture says. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. We got to go there in order to answer this question. Check this out. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We're told that God is three things by nature in Scripture. He is spirit, he is love, and he is light. In the presence of God is light. The fact that God is there means light is there, all right? And I'm going to prove this to you here. If you're not on board with me just yet, that what I'm saying is this, that when God said, let there be light, basically God did this. He stepped into the picture and boom, there was light. Because he's there, because his presence is there, and because he said so, there is light. Now, I believe that's true, not only because of the fact that God is light, but also from what Revelation 21 verse 23 tells us. And what does Revelation 21 verse 23 tells us, you ask? We're going to go there. This is when the new heavens and the new earth have come. This is when the old earth has passed away. And then all of a sudden we see this. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. In other words, we're not going to need the sun anymore. We're not going to need the sun. We're not going to need the moon. Why? For the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. Revelation 21, 23, if there was no more proof that we needed of Genesis 1, 1 being light that comes from the presence of God himself, then we have it here in Revelation 21, 23. The city has no need for sun and moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. Now, we'll talk about light as in the speed of light and all of this stuff. When we get to the sun and stuff along those lines. But what we have here tonight in day one is we have the presence of God and how the presence of God gives light and how the darkness cannot stand amidst the light and how the presence of God reveals sin in our life. The presence of God reveals to us how much like Christ or how much unlike Christ we are. And as we're going to see as the week rolls on, we're going to see how all creation is singing the praises of God. And then we're forced to ask ourselves the question, are we singing those praises? Because we have been created just like the rest of the creation. We have been created. Therefore, are we singing? Are we shouting? Are we praising the same way that creation is praising him? Scripture says that if we don't cry out, who will? Come on, somebody tell me. If we don't cry out, who will? The rocks will cry out. If we don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. God says, if you guys don't open your mouths and praise my name, I'm going to make the rocks praise my name. You know what that verse tells me? It tells me this, that if the rocks had your mouth, it wouldn't waste its words on anything other than praising God. It wouldn't waste its time on anything other than giving praise and glory to God. Yet we seem to spend time on such trivial things that have no meaning in regards to eternity. And God has called us, as he has with all of creation, to sing. And that is not, that's not to sing selectively through music. That is our lifestyle. Our lifestyle should sing the glory of God. That our bodies should be given as a living sacrifice, for this is our spiritual act of worship, the Bible says. So are you praising? Are you joining with all of creation in singing the glory of God? That's kind of where we're going with this. And if there's one question that I can leave you with tonight as we end up our introduction time tonight, is that just as God raised the horn for his people and he gave them reason to worship him, because that's basically what that means. He says, I have given my people reason to worship me. What reasons has God given you? What reasons has God given you to worship him? That's what I want you to think about. And we can all, we can sit and we can think and we can think and we can come up with a lot of really general things. Well, God's given me reason to worship him because, well, I woke up this morning. That's good. I've done pretty good in my classes. That's good. It's given me reason. And all those things are true. All those things are true. But let me remind us of something. It seems like in regards to, when we're asked a question like that, in what ways has God given you reason to worship him? It seems like we're really prone, if we're not careful, to think about all the ways that we think we don't need to worship God. We want to think about reasons why God doesn't deserve our worship, because we want to give ourselves this little box to stand on and say, well, God, where were you in this? Where were you in this? Where were this? Well, you know, this didn't really work out the way I wanted it to. And we can come up with all of these excuses why we think that our lives, we should pursue our own way and not be focused on praising God. And what happens, we get so burdened down with all of the things that we feel that God owes us, when in reality that's so untrue and puts us in a place we do not want to be. But in focusing on those things, we forget the real simple reasons why God has given us reason to praise him. We forget day in and day out reason upon reason upon reason that God has given us reason to praise him, and we totally overlook that stuff. And so what I want to encourage you to do this week before we get into the study on next week is, man, think, write down ways every single day. Write down reasons that God has given you to praise him. And see what you come up with between now and next week. Reasons that God has given you to praise him. And if you're aware, if you make yourself aware, if you go outside and you stand outside for 30 seconds and you take your mind off of everything man has made and you look at what God has made, then he's going to give you 10,000 reasons why you should praise him in those 30 seconds. I'm confident of that. But it involves us stopping and listening to the rest of his creation and listening as they glorify the name of our Lord, as they praise him, and then we can join in as all creation sings the glory of God. So how's our worship? That's kind of where we're going with this. Are we worshiping the way we're called to worship? Are we worshiping the way that all creation is singing the glory of God?